Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Anchor. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello, hello, hello. Excuse me for a minute. Oh, sorry about that. Welcome to another edition of the FSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jeff the Joker, the Jersey man, just like myself. And as always, we do, we engage in conversation, give you information about the crazy, wacky world and comments of fantasy sports and politics. We got a great show in store for you tonight. If you want to join us, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll run that back to you again. 347-637-3220. Also have a chat room open. The chat room is always for your convenience. Make comments, questions, whatever you want to say in the chat room. It's all good. We'll respond to them as you put them in there. But without further ado, let's bring in my co-host. That's all we're going to talk to right now is Jeff the Joker. Welcome, my man, Jeff.
Hey, what's happening?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. Well, I shouldn't say nothing much. Come on. For the last, you know, this is Super Bowl week for one. And as always, I mean, you would think, Jeff, that these football players, they're not rocket scientists. I understand that. But for the participants that are getting ready to play the Super Bowl each year, there are other football players, I imagine, not all of them, but a lot of them watch what's going on, hoping that they get into that position at one point and watch their fellow NFL player make gaffe after gaffe, say something stupid, do something stupid leading up to the game. And when they get the opportunity, like the San Francisco 49ers and the the Baltimore Ravens, you would think that they wouldn't fall into the same trap or do the same stupid garbage that their predecessors have done over the years leading up to the Super Bowl. But no. We have guys that say the craziest things. Two of them were on the happened to be on the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know if it's a prelude. I don't know if it was nervousness or what caused them to say some stupid garbage like they did. But we're going to talk about what Chris Culliver did say and what Randy Moss did say and what Skip Bayless and Stephen A., and as you people know if you listen, I like to bring those in. And then we do have our other co-host. He just popped in, and I'm going to bring him in here and welcome him to the show because we haven't talked to him in a while. Welcome, Black. How you doing?
I am good, my friend. I am good. What's going on?
Nothing much. Hey, say hello to Jeff.
Welcome back. Nice to have
good
you.
Good to be back, man. What's going on? Let me just inform the people. I am not the Monte Teo hoaxer. This is Black.
How you feeling? You feeling all right? Everything's back to normal or somewhat normal or what?
Somewhat normal. I'm still having this back discomfort, man, but I'm coming around.
I heard you, besides physical things going through, you've been going through some other things, which is pretty tough. I can believe that. So
Shrinking the paycheck, man.
Yep. I hear you. All right, guys, I open it up by saying we're going to be talking about the 149er, a DB, Mr. Chris Culliver, and his bright remarks. I'm going to play this clip. It's about a minute and a half, and then I want you guys to respond on what he has to say.
You cover the NFL. I want to go over something. This is an issue I find fascinating about the NFL. No matter how politically correct the world gets, the NFL and certain cultures will always be homophobic in my eyes. And these guys don't even care about getting in trouble, I think. And we talked to Chris Culliver, who's on the San Francisco 49ers, great player, cornerback. And I interviewed him, and I'm doing my goofy interview, and I'm asking all sorts of stupid questions. And right in the middle of it, I ask him if there's any gay guys in the 49ers. And listen to his reaction. And to me, this is what the NFL is. Go ahead. Now, Ray Lewis said that God doesn't make any mistakes. And looking at me, do you think that's true?
Yeah, I do think that's true. Because he's God.
God doesn't make any mistakes, you think?
Nah, he ain't make no mistakes. He's perfect.
Give me an under-over on white chicks this week.
On white chicks?
Yeah, how many are you going to bang this week?
None.
None?
I can't bang no white chicks before the Super Bowl.
You probably do all right with the ladies, I assume, right?
Yeah, I do real good. I'm cool with the ladies. Hi, ladies.
And what about gay guys? Have any of them approached you?
Nah, I don't do the gay guys, man. Yeah. I don't do that. No.
Are there any on the 49ers?
Nah. They don't got no gay people on the team. You know, they got to get up out of here if they do. Can't be with that sweet stuff. Nah.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
But they might be able to play well. I mean.
Nah.
No?
Nah. Be in the locker room, nah.
Oh, okay. So they'd have to stay, keep it a secret.
Yeah, you gotta come out 10 years later after that.
Oh, okay, that's a good idea. Well, Chris, listen, I appreciate your time.
Oh, yeah, man, I appreciate
good luck in the game, man.
Cool,
all right,
cool,
be well.
Thanks.
It's about to be over. It's about to be over. All right.
Who wants to comment? Black, or I'll give it to Black first. Talk to me, Black.
You know, if I was at the Super Bowl, these are the type of hard-hitting questions I've been asking some of these players, trying to bait them in. That's all these reporters are doing. There were 5,900 media people there. Everybody can't ask the same question, so you got to kind of shovel around and think it's an innovative question. But, man, I didn't think Culliver was his name? Cullison? Culverson?
Chris Culliver.
Chris Culliver, I didn't think he was going to go there with it, though. I don't know what to say. These guys are supposed to be well-versed. That's why you shouldn't have this long two-week break between the Super Bowl. Just go ahead and let these guys play the exact next week so all this stuff can be avoided.
Jeff.
Yeah, you know, I've seen things about this media day, and the media day is nuts. I mean, there's reporters there who know nothing about football, and they ask questions for over an hour about stuff that has nothing to do with football. I don't know if you guys remember, a few years back, there was a woman there asking Tom Brady to marry her. You know, it's just the kind of stuff that goes on. It's a circus. I mean, this guy, Culliver, I mean, he's not a star player. I think those guys are more used to having a microphone in their face, but he should have realized to zip it. I mean, yeah, he was baited, but, you know, hey, I'm lucky. My family's dysfunctional, so it really, I would be a great celebrity because I know what it's like. Everything you say, you get vilified, you know, and that's what these guys got to realize. And, it's just part of the three-ring circus. That's the Super Bowl. And, of all places, too, San Francisco, you know? I mean,
yep.
You know, I'm not knocking San Francisco, but, you know, that city is known, you know, it's not a knock. I mean, there's gay people in every city in America that they're known for a gay population. If he just said that in, you know, someplace like remember years ago, Reggie White said something that gays took offense to. You know, if you set it up in Green Bay, there wouldn't be a big protest, you know, but San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
Ooh. And,
right.
Yeah, those people, they really advocate. So, this guy, he messed up.
Well, to it happened on Tuesday. And the 49ers made a statement earlier on Wednesday. They addressed Culver's comments, but they didn't elaborate on whether the second-year player would face disciplinary action. But they distanced themselves from what he said, and they issued a statement before Culver's apology, condemning his comments one day after, quite naturally, you heard Artie Lang play the audio recording of his interview. Culver apologized later that day on Wednesday. And this is his quote. "The derogatory comments I made yesterday were a reflection of thoughts in my head, but they are not how I feel," end quote. Culver said in a statement released by the team. And quote, he says, "It has taken me seeing them in print to realize that they are hurtful and ugly. Those discriminating feelings are truly not in my heart. Further, I apologize to those who I have hurt and offended, and I pledge to learn and grow from this experience." And then the his personal public relations representative said, "Chris is apologetic for any harm caused to anyone. His intent was not that at all. He is one who celebrates the differences of others. All of this was just a big mistake. It was interpreted classically." This is the classic line. "It was interpreted wrong." When it was plain and simple that what he said was what he meant, but it wasn't a misinterpretation. It was in plain English, and it was a plain question that was given to him, and he took it and ran with it the way he wanted to. It is what it is. On that note, let's move on to, and this is, and that's not because I'm going with the gay theme, but it just so happened with the same team, and it happened to be a gay person that it happened with, who happened to be a former, I don't know if any, you guys know this, a former Raider and 49er, a guy named of Kwame Harris, was arrested at a restaurant in Menlo Park. Now, this just came out recently, I don't know why it just came out recently, but it just came out recently, just before the Super Bowl, that he was arrested on August 26th after allegedly assaulting his boyfriend. Assaulting his ex-boyfriend and was charged with felony abuse. Yes. And the alleged victim had been in a romantic relationship, but they were not involved at the time of the incident. Supposedly, Harris, let me read some of this, and I'll bring in McCall in a minute. Harris and this guy, Dimitri Geyer, were having dinner before Harris was to drive Geyer to San Francisco International Airport. Check this out. During dinner, Geyer poured soy sauce on a plate of rice, angering rice. When the two went to get Geyer's belongings from Harris's car, Harris accused Geyer of stealing his underwear and tried pulling his pants down. Geyer tried to get away, and Harris allegedly shook him and punched him in the face. Geyer had to have surgery to repair a broken orbital bone in his face. Harris claimed Geyer punched him first. The quote is from Harris's attorney. This really is a pure self-defense case. He was attacked. Harris, check this out now. And I didn't know this. Harris was a first-round pick of the 49ers in 2003. He played in 86 NFL games before retiring after the 2008 season. And since I the last caller I'm going to bring in first is McCall, and then I'll go to Black, and then I'll go to Jeff to answer, to comment on this.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen. What's up, Black? Hope you're feeling better. What's up, Jeff? And Mr. Jerry,
hey.
always respectable as usual, sir. I just got to say, you can't be pouring, you can't be messing with my soy sauce or pouring soy sauce on my plate, man. Then you can't be, fight me over my underwear, Slim, so I can understand. I understand that part. But the part I'm just confused with is the dude is 6'7". The other dude, he's over 6 feet. Come on, man. What is happening out here, man? I mean, because, you know, I ain't but, like, you know, I'm probably, like, touching 5'10", you know, with my Timberlands on, you know. Mm-hmm. And, I'm machismo. You know, I'm a male. You know, mm-hmm. I got a lot of bragging no show, but I see a 6'7 dude and a 6'1 dude wrecking over some soy sauce and underwear and stuff. I'm confused. I'm lost. Somebody help me. Stop. Take a step back. Who do you see?
This reminds me of a bad episode of Martin. He was taking his DMV test, and the big 6'7 dude came over calling him Almond Joy. This is ridiculous.
You guys didn't hear about this, huh?
The news today, boy. I just heard about the Tui Sasapo thing on Dr. Phil today.
Who?
Tui Sasapo, the hostess. Admitting his love for Manti Te'o on Dr. Phil.
Yes.
What you surprised about? I told y'all, man, that Manti is gay. Oh my God.
I think any guy who's older than a teenager has been, whatever you want to call it, played. You know, like that old song, Everybody Plays the Fool.
Well, mm-hmm, right.
Well, Manti Te'o is king of the fools. I mean, yeah, I've made mistakes. I've been a sucker. But I never spent 5 hours a night on a phone with a dude.
Thank you.
Sound like a chick. But that's why, Mikal, I said on a Vic's show, that's why as soon as that story broke, everybody was referring to Sounds Mean as Manti Te'o as the blowing Samoan, you know?
Right.
And that might have been why he went along with the hoax to maybe think, oh, you know, everybody wonders how come they don't see me walking around with girls, you know?
There you go.
But I'll tell you, man, it's like this is like the past couple of weeks have been a lot of gay news because I'm still bugging out that that Jim Nabors came out as gay. I mean,
surprise!
Yep. And my grandmother was a big fan. I'm not joking.
Holy.
Yeah, he 82 years old. He just married his boyfriend.
What?
I'm not joking. I mean, this is just big in the news the past couple of weeks. And my grandmother loved Jim Nabors. I mean, she was a big, big fan of his singing. You know, I guess he covered up the fact he was gay because he was in the Marines, you know. Well, not really, but his character.
well, guys, I knew Jim Nabors was gay about at least 10 years ago.
Rumors about him and Rock Hudson.
But you know, I guess he finally came out full-blown with this, but I think it had been known that at least 10 years ago that he was gay, and I don't know if it was on a TV program or he actually was interviewed and professed it then, but I knew Jim Nabors was definitely floating on the other side of the river. So, hey, it is what it is. You know, it's a mind-boggling thing that in today's society, there is so much, for lack of a better word, gender bending and flipping on both sides of the river, like I said, more than it's ever been in my lifetime. And I'm 58 going on 59 years old, and I can't believe that so many people are coming so-called out or making themselves known. Now, Kwame Harris, supposedly no one knew this and was outed because the fact this came and he got arrested and became public information and public news. But before this, I don't think, unless it was in close-knit circles, that he knew that he floated the other way. But I think he was outed from this arrest and from what happened between these two men. So, so he, which is pretty crazy. I mean, I'm looking at a picture of Kwame Harris, and right now, and you couldn't. In a thousand years, you wouldn't think this guy was like that, but it is what it is.
I know they can't wait to get a load of him in jail.
Huh?
I said I know they can't wait to get a load of him in jail.
Yeah. I don't know. Hey,
a big dude for them to be wrecking with, and I don't know. That's a big dude to be wrestling with up in that jump, man.
Well, for those who want to know the whole story, want to know what it looks like, and besides what I've been saying, Google Kwame Harris, K-W-A-M-E Harris, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Now, what is it about that name Kwame? Because Kwame Brown, he played like a girl. I mean, that guy was a real dud. Fans are crazy. Like, if a guy's a lousy player, they don't just act like he's a lousy player. They act like the guy's a lousy person, you know?
Right.
But the thing is, you know, you're number one pick in the draft. You got to be a little more than a bench warmer. And, of course, then needless to say, Michael Jordan liked them and traded for him, which is why Michael Jordan shouldn't be an executive of a team. Go figure. Life is strange, you know.
You know what? You know, and I'm not picking on his team, but it seems like the news is just floating the San Francisco Niners way, because another San Francisco Niner is in the news on Media Day. Now, like, Macau, you didn't hear my early program rant about guys not learning from other guys that are being in the same situation and doing dumb things and saying dumb things on Media Day and leading up to the Super Bowl. You think football players would learn from each other, but like I said earlier, they're not rocket scientists. And another one, besides Chris Culliver, his teammate, and this guy's a veteran, you would think he would be able to weather the waters on Media Day. It's not the first time he's been in the Super Bowl or in the limelight in front of the media, but not bashful. Tuesday, when asked about his place in football history, Randy Moss declaring himself the greatest receiver to play the game. His quote, "Now that I'm older, I do think I'm the greatest receiver ever to do it." He acknowledged that his season with the 49ers has been a down year for me statistically, as was his 2010 season before he retired for a year, and his last season with the Oakland Raiders, which is 2006 before his trade to New England Patriots. He said, however, that he doesn't think statistics should determine greatness. I don't really live on numbers. I really live on impact and what you're able to do out on the field. I really think I'm the greatest receiver ever to play this game. Okay. Now, I have a few clips. One of them is with Skip Bayless and Stephen A. And I forget the guy's name. He's the producer. I forget his name, but whatever. They're talking about who the greatest receivers are, and they were each ranking them. And then I also have a response from Jerry Rice. I'm going to play all this. It's going to take a while. I'm going to play all this, and then have you guys comment on that. First, I'm going to play the first take clip with Skip Bayless and Stephen A.
Pete Rocks.
On a scale from 1 to 5, I'm going to say 4. And I'm going to say he's the best vertical receiver I've ever seen on the field. Jerry Rice, 197 career touchdowns. That's 3 away from 200. Best all-around receiver, in my eyes, you know. And that's how I see it as far as they go. Terrell Owens, 153 touchdowns.
So you have him second?
I have him third.
Third, okay.
And then I have Chris Carter.
Uh-huh. Okay.
With 130.
So who's one again? Three?
Jerry Rice,
Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, and Chris Carter.
Okay, so he's number two. Okay. Oh.
Put up there, for me personally, to answer the question directly, I had a problem with him saying that. I don't think it's something that he should have said. Mm. I think Jerry Rice is clearly the greatest receiver of all time. More importantly than that, I think that you got to be careful about what you're saying when you're wearing the man wearing the same uniform. I mean, Jerry Rice delivered three Super Bowl champions, helped deliver three Super Bowl titles to San Francisco. You come to San Francisco, and basically they did you a favor by bringing you on the roster because we all thought that Randy Moss was finished. And obviously it wasn't because of his skill sets, because Randy Moss can ball. To me, he's the second greatest receiver in NFL history. I think I put him and T.O. in a battle there, but I'll give him a slight edge.
You put T.O. in a battle?
About three touchdowns.
Let me tell you something. You want to talk about disrespectful?
It's not disrespectful. T.O. is the bad boy, number one.
Yes,
number two. Number two, unlike Randy Moss, T.O. didn't mind going over the middle. Mm-hmm. All right?
Not
T.O.
At all.
And not only that, you could call him Team Obliterator all you want to. And certainly he could have done some things better, which he was kind enough to come on our set and admit in a very classy interview you conducted with him, I might add.
I'm taking that into consideration.
That's right. But I'm telling you right now, I definitely think that T.O. is in the discussion. It's just that Randy Moss was so phenomenal with this vertical game, I can't dismiss it. But in the end, there is one Jerry Rice. He's a man, didn't take games off, didn't take time off, mood swings, temperamental, all of this. None of that stuff. There's something to be said. Again, your athletic ability is one thing. Your level of production is another thing.
Right.
And last but not least, that ultimate, which is also a very important category, your commitment to excellence matters.
Often on the
matters.
Field.
Well, I'm saying even on the field.
Right.
You got to want to show up.
Right.
You can't sit there. Think about this. Randy Moss was almost near tears. He was bordering on depression his last year in New England because they didn't want to give him a contract extension. He felt like, I'm not being loved.
Yeah, yeah.
So as a result, you sit there and you alienate dudes to such a degree that you end up not playing.
Yeah.
With Tom Brady and for Bill Belichick, two guys that he openly acknowledged are two of the greatest at what they do.
Yep.
You had an opportunity to be a part of this. If Randy Moss was on the New England Patriots the last 2 years, you're trying to tell me at least one Super Bowl ring isn't delivered? Last year or this year, New England wins the Super Bowl title with Randy Moss in that lineup.
He didn't touch
who messed that? Who messed that up? Randy Moss. Jerry Rice ain't never been associated with something like that.
You know, I was really surprised that Randy Moss made that comment, because how can you not bring stats in or how you impacted the game? I impacted the game by winning Super Bowls. So I'm sure Randy is still trying to win his first one, and I wish him the best. But I was very surprised that he said he's the best receiver to ever play the game. I leave that up to my fans to make that statement.
Really, what he's trying to say is, you're trying to win one. I've got three.
Exactly.
I've got three rings.
Three rings and just about every record in the books for a wide receiver in history. These are the numbers.
These are the numbers. Randy Moss, 982 receptions. Jerry Rice, 1,549. Randy Moss, 15,292 receiving yards. Jerry Rice, 22,895. Randy Moss, 156 receiving touchdowns. Jerry Rice, 197. Randy Moss, 6 Pro Bowls. Jerry Rice, 13 Pro Bowls. In my opinion, it's not even a contest. It's not even close. I'm going to give it to Jeff Black, and then McCown to comment.
You know, what Moss said is not accurate, but it's not a joke. And I would even go far to say Moss might be the greatest deep threat receiver, but all-around receiver, no contest is Jerry Rice. And because Jerry Rice, I mean, he went over the middle – He caught the short stuff and would break it long. And he was willing to block, to make big plays for other guys. These are things that Randy Moss never did. But just, you know, as a and he was in, and Rice was so much more consistent. I mean, he didn't have as many off games or off seasons. I mean, the Raider years for Moss were pathetic, and Jerry Rice never did that. He never phoned it in like that. So, I mean, as great as Moss is, he's not in the same category as Rice. And but, you know, the thing is with Moss, you know, if you criticize him, he doesn't care. You know, it's, you know, and the thing is, you know, it's hard to believe, you know, San Francisco goes through all the trouble and expense to bring him in for what he catch 28 balls this year. That's nothing. And it cracks me up to hear a receiver say numbers aren't that important. That's a joke. I mean, most of these guys live for their numbers, you know?
Talk to me, Black.
You know, I remember when I first saw Randy Moss at a Marshall Thunder, I heard college, him and what's my guy that played with Sacramento, the point guard, Jason Williams? Him and Jason Williams.
Yeah, Jason Williams.
Marshall together. And I think the years of Randy Moss and Jason Williams putting that sticky icky in the air and finally caught up with Randy Moss to make such a ludicrous statement like that during Super Bowl week. He is one of the greatest deep threat receivers in the game, but best receiver in the game, no way. No way at all.
Talk to me there, Mikal.
I honestly don't have a problem with him saying that. I really don't.
Really?
No, I don't. I don't have a problem with him saying that. I think
you got to explain yourself on this.
No, if he didn't say anything like that, then he should never put on a football uniform ever. He shouldn't. He should not, ever. I think that, now I don't agree with him that he is greater than Jerry Rice. However, he is great. He is very much great. Very much great. You know, I have never seen any wide receiver that just takes over the deep ball the way he does. I mean, I don't understand what these teams were doing with Randy Moss. I really don't. I just don't understand. You know, all you had to do is throw the ball up. I mean, and that was just for years. Everyone knows that. But whatever was going on between him and those organizations and the countless quarterbacks and whatnot, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. But as far as Jerry Rice is concerned, yes, he definitely is the best all-around receiver. But I can't say that Jerry Rice gave that impact to me like Moss did. Now, granted, you know, Moss didn't do all those other things, you know, and all-around things. So, yeah, so Jerry Rice is the all-around best wide receiver. But if I'm standing out there and I'm picking wide receivers and I'm looking between Rice and Moss, I can't tell you that I'm going to pick up Rice. I can't tell you that I'm going to pick up Rice. I am serious. I'm serious. Because at some point, I'm going to have to throw the ball up. At some point, I'm going to have to throw the ball up. And there is no receiver out there I have ever seen that go up and get the ball like Moss. I ain't seen that. I have not seen that. I'm still stuck on that 99 season. The dude just took over the year. Just took over. I mean, I watched that man just make my Hall of Fame cornerback look like nothing. I mean, he made Daryl Green look like nothing. Nothing. But, like I said, I really don't have a problem with him saying it. You know what I mean? I really don't. I mean, that's just ego. You know, and he should have ego. And you need those type of things. You need that ego as an edge out there. So I don't have a problem with him saying it. I don't think it's as much of a big deal as everybody's making it.
Black, you care to respond there?
Man, you take your team of Randy Moss's, and I take my team of Jerry Rice's, and we can go to war, man.
we go to war. We will go to war.
Because
I know.
Because
I know.
With good perceived blocking help and your guys getting double and triple team, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you could double and you could double and triple team, Randy. It won't even matter. It won't. All I need is a quarterback that can put the ball up. That's it. That's it.
Wow. You shocked me there, man. Because I've seen Jerry.
I can't even argue with him. I'm gonna just step off with the five rings and leave it there.
Yeah, I mean Jerry Rice.
Yeah, I mean y'all could step off with the five rings. You know, I mean that, and that's very very credible. I mean I respect that. I'm not disrespecting, you know, what he's done. You know what I'm saying? But in terms of just putting those two men right there out there. No.
You can't tell me he wasn't the fuse of Tecmo Bowl back in the day with Jerry Rice.
All you had to do was throw it across. All you had to do was throw it across the middle of the Rice and Tecmo Bowl. I remember that. That was it. You threw it across the middle and you kept doing it. But my thing to you is the kid. That's my thing to you. You know what I'm saying? While you cutting across the middle for 15, I can throw it up for 40. The man that showed it to you over and over again. That's why I just do not understand what they were doing with this brother. I don't understand it. Throw the ball up to him, Slim. I mean, I think Stephen A. made a really good point, man. New England would have won one of those Super Bowls with Moss in there, and I don't understand what they were doing, but you know, I don't know. I'm not a coach. I ain't out there. I don't get paid to do that. It just don't make no sense to me.
He would have been also a victim of the Spygate curse. He would have not won both.
Oh, the Spygate curse?
Yeah, they would have fell a play short.
Okay. All right. Well, we've been talking about for the longest, ever since the playoffs start, ever since Ray Lewis announced his retirement, it's been all about Ray Lewis and his retirement tour leading up to his last game. And come win or come loss, this will be his last game. Well, former New York Giant, who's never without an opinion, and he voiced his opinion on the Ray Lewis. He says that Ray Lewis has become a caricature of himself, and a former receiver, Amani Toomer, says he's had enough of Ray Lewis. Toomer played against Lewis in Super Bowl 35, and while he says he has great respect for the linebacker as a player, he has grown tired of Lewis stealing the spotlight from his Ravens teammates. His quote, "It's definitely all about him," Toomer, who now works for NBC Sports Radio, told USA Today on Wednesday. "Once a guy goes to the center of the field, goes into the victory formation on the last play of his last home game, I just don't think the Giants or any organization I've ever been part of, even growing up, would allow somebody to single themselves out like that." Lewis has announced that Sunday will be his final game, like everybody knows, which has been the primary storyline following Baltimore throughout the playoffs. The future Hall of Famer has ramped up his already bombastic on-field persona, including elaborate dance routines and emotional press conferences over the past month, and to a point that Toomer feels is beginning to border on ridiculous. This is another quote from Amani Toomer. "If you single yourself out after you make a play, that's one thing," he said, "but to walk out on the field reminds me of the WWE, like The Rock coming out. You're becoming a caricature of yourself. It's exhausting. I don't know why somebody would want that." Luckily for the former wideout, Sunday will be the last time we'll see Ray Lewis on the sport's biggest stage until he begins his reported gig as an ESPN analyst. That is. I'm going to go to Black, Jeff, and Macau to comment on the article I just wrote. I just read about Amani Toomer and how he feels about everything Ray Lewis is about leading up to this game. Talk to me.
Amani Toomer doesn't even play the game anymore. He's just hating. So somebody get Amani Toomer some dead antler juice or some dead antler serum or some semen or something and tell that guy to go away. Let Ray Lewis do him his last year. He won't be playing football next year. Let him do him, man.
Okay. About who did I say was next? Hello?
Well, I'll go next.
Okay.
I liked Amani a lot when he played for the Giants. He was part of that Super Bowl team that got destroyed by the Ravens. But at the end of his career, Amani and Strahan were the only two guys left from that team who played in the first Super Bowl against New England. Amani's probably, this isn't much of a distinction, probably one of the best wide receivers to never go to a Pro Bowl, but a lot of that was because he didn't get the greatest numbers because he was playing for the Giants at the time, and you got to have the gaudy numbers if you want to go to Hawaii. But he still had, 5,000-yard seasons and was very good. But, I don't agree with what he's saying. I mean, I don't think it's just Ray Lewis putting himself above the team. I think it's also the team genuinely looks up to the guy. I mean, he's played at a very high level for, 17 years? I mean, it's
right.
Like he could tackle guys with his mind, I mean, that guy is so intense. And the reason he's successful is not just his intensity on game day, it's his intensity during the week and even training during the off season. This guy, works hard, eats right, pays attention to meetings. I mean, he's the leader of that team. You want to talk about caricatures, I'm sure there's been plenty of other guys who stuck around too long and were real jerks and bad teammates and whatever, and I don't think Ray Lewis is one of those. I could see some people are getting tired of him, I think he is going to retire. He's not going to be a Brett Favre. And I think, at this point, with the point coming back from that injury, I think he's going on adrenaline. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going on adrenaline more than a deer antler. But if you're an analyst, you got to analyze. But you don't want to be too big of a jerk because then you end up like Tiki Barber,
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
And Amani, he said that he would have rather had Tony Romo than Eli Manning. And as each year goes by, that looks funnier and funnier. Eli picked up a second ring since then, and, Romo is on thin ice in Dallas. They should call him Mr. October, which isn't a very good name for a football player. Amani's got to bring it down a notch,
Right. Okay. What about you, Macau? What do you think about what the Mr. Toomer had to say about Ray Lewis?
First, I would like to give a shout-out to Keenan Robinson because he did the funniest SNL skit I have ever seen in my life. My man, he was acting as Ray Lewis. He said, "We're going to go, when we win the Super Bowl, I'm going to go to the 50-yard line, kneel down, and I'm going to ascend right into heaven." I was crying. But, I think Amani Toomer is fighting for some kind of relevancy. And, Jeff, you hit it right on the nose. I mean, not too long ago, this fool was talking about he'll take Eli over Romo. And I'm pretty sure there's a couple of Dallas fans on the line that probably thought that was a little bit ridiculous. But Amani is just he really need to shut that up. I would challenge him to go say that down there in Baltimore.
I would challenge him to go say that down there because they love him down there. They genuinely look up to him, the players, the entire organization, the whole city, you know what I mean? He is the face, the spokesman, and, you know, he is that franchise player. So, no, I don't think it's too much over the top. You know, I think they marketing it so much and they ratcheted it up a little bit, you know what I'm saying, by setting the whole joint up, having fire and whatnot in the grass all out there staging it, you know. But, you know, Baltimore can do what they want to do down there. Just like we do what we want to do every time it's a touchdown, you hit a head of the Redskins. I can't stand it myself. But you hear that all the time. And, you know, every team in every state, they do whatever they want to do because that is their own franchise, you know. And he is free to go right down there, like I said, free to go right down there at M&T Stadium and say that in front of all them folks. He can go right down there and do it. I ain't going to be there.
Okay. One more thing before we get each of you guys talk about the Super Bowl. We'll be talking about everything around the Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl. One more thing I want to talk about, and that's one of the things that came up in Media Day about Ray Lewis supposedly taking what they call the deer antlers.
The deer antler semen. They're trying to cover it up and call it his juice. It's deer antler semen. The deers, they go hard, they hit hard. Let's just call it what it is. It's deer antler
semen. Yeah, how in the world can you have deer antler semen? Come on,
supposedly,
Black.
Sports Illustrated recently reported that in October, Lewis, who was suffering from a torn triceps, inquired about products from SWATS, which is sports with alternatives to steroids, which makes items with deer antler velvet. I guess that's another word for deer sperm. Anyway.
No, it's not deer sperm.
Yes, it is.
It is yes, not it deer is. Sperm.
Don't try.
Antler,
don't
the
try.
Antler, the antler is on the deer's head, so that is not
politically correct.
Anyway. The reason I'm saying this, I'm going to read this short article. What's the best way to get consumers to buy your product? Have a sports star deny ever using it. Deer antler, a controversial dietary supplement banned by the NFL that Baltimore Ravens linebacker Ray Lewis has claimed he never used, believe it or not, guys, is selling better than ever. This is a quote from the director of marketing for the private label Nutraceuticals, a private label dietary and supplemental nutritional supplemental manufacturer in Atlanta. This is probably one of the biggest sales days for it since we launched it about a year ago. The company, which sells to retailers and not consumers, manufactures six products containing deer antler velvet, a coating that appears on antlers while they grow. The substance contains a high concentration of insulin-like growth factor and is similar to human growth hormone in the body. This is another quote from Breanne, and I can't pronounce her name, but it's Breanne with a V. I'm not going to go because I can't pronounce the name. We've depleted our current in-house stock, but we have more coming in tomorrow. And there's another guy, Vincent Temis, a sales manager at Wild Miracle in Fairfax, Virginia, which sells three different deer antler products ranging from a $34.99 to a $59.99 product. Over the last few days, sales have increased probably 50 to 60%. The publicity increased over the past couple of days, and people are wondering if it is really a good product. That's a quote from him. When a sports figure talks about a supplement, it always bequeaths an interest in people. The exposure has really brought it to life. It's got this mystique about it, given that it's a legal product but banned in the NFL. That's the controversy right now. And then there's another guy, Curtis Fouts, owner of South Cross Velvet, which has been selling variations of the product for 15 years. This is a quote for him. We've done eight times the business we normally do in each of the past couple of days. sales have jumped from 8,000 a year to 350,000 over the last 8 years. All it takes is somebody to accuse a pro athlete. Doesn't make a difference really what sport, and the pro athlete deny it, whether he's guilty or not, and that product, as long as it's legal in some way, people are jumping apparently all over it. Give me your comments on this. This is crazy, but believable. Jeff, McCall, and then Black.
You know, I gotta admit, I never heard of the deer antler thing before, and I heard now I'm hearing that a bunch of players at the University of Alabama were using it, which the university says they're investigating. You know, the dreaded internal investigation, which never turns up anything. It doesn't sound like that bad of a supplement. I mean, steroids are obviously cheating. I've said it before. And the thing is, also, with Ray Lewis, he's at the end of his career. I mean, what are they going to do to him? I mean, you can't suspend a guy after he's retired. And I think also there's some people that are going to hate Ray Lewis no matter what. This goes
right
back to the murder charges, which he was, well, he wasn't charged with, that he was acquitted of, you know, over 10 years ago. And there's still people who were ticked off at him for that. And the thing is, when some people don't like you, if they can't come up with legitimate criticism, they'll start making something up. So, you know, people got to move on with this. But the thing is, you know, Lewis could take the heat, you know. I mean, the last time around, for 2 weeks before the game, all they did was ask about that murder in Atlanta. And he did not back down. He could take it. A lot of guys would have cracked from that pressure. And he's still that way. He could take all that on his shoulders. And that bum who plays for the Yankees, A-Rod, he can, you know. Different people,
right,
you know.
Before you jump in, McCall, this touches a little bit, not just Ray Lewis, but all the things we've been talking about on what part of your subject matter was yesterday, last night. And I'm interested to hear your comments on what I just spoke about. Mikhail?
Go ahead for a second. I'm tied up for just like 2 minutes. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Black?
Yeah,
Black?
Put that protein, their antler down. Get tied up over there. I wish DeMarcus Ware had this during the end of the season, because he couldn't even manage to tackle the last four or five games of the season. And Ray Lewis takes this donkey team and then he's 14, 13, 10 tackles a game. Sounds like a great, great product, but I just can't see myself actually spraying some donkey semen at the bottom of my tongue. I just can't do it.
You with me now, McCall, or you still need more time? I guess he still needs more time. All right, this is the deal, guys. All right, we come to about 6 minutes, a little more than 6 minutes in the show. You know what's going on Sunday. Everybody's going to have be in their favorite place with their favorite people, drinking their favorite drink, eating their favorite food, having good times with the people that they're around, hopefully, watching two brothers. Jim and John Harbaugh with their respective teams, which are almost mirror images of themselves. Relatively tough defense. A young quarterback. One's a two-year quarterback. The other one's a four- or five-year quarterback. Both of them have guns for an arm with a good running game and decent receivers. And one, I think, in my opinion, has got a better defense than the other.
I'm sorry.
We're talking about the San Francisco 49ers going up against the Baltimore Ravens and with the chance for one of the Harbaughs, one of them is going to definitely walk out of them. The Harbaugh is going to win the Super Bowl because there's two of them. I want to go to Macau because he's back from it now. Your Super Bowl prediction and why you pick it. Macau's first, Black second, and then Jeff.
Um, I,
earlier this week I was strong with San Francisco. I'm still going with San Francisco, but I'm just feeling some this emotional wave coming through here, man. I don't know, but I'm gonna stick with San Francisco. I think they have the more well-rounded team as far as defense, and I like the coach, I like the quarterback, you know. Picking between these two teams is a real, real toss up. But like I said, I'm gonna go with San Francisco. Hey, what was you asking me just before? I am so sorry. I apologize.
Well, all the subject matter that we've been talking about touched on a lot or somewhat of what we were talking about yesterday on your show.
Right.
I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Right. Yeah. I really think that Ray Lewis is just being really kind of like singled out for this. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's taking this stuff. You know what I mean? And to respond to like all that other stuff that we were talking about as far as, you know, the guys and those stores saying that they're selling more and getting, you know, an athlete to deny their use of it. Yo, I really think that they're hustling. I mean, I seriously believe that they're hustling. But, you know, we will never really know. I'm gonna tip my hat to Ray, because he's been through a lot of stuff, and you know he was vindicated before, and I'm just gonna stick with him. I've seen on the field he's not the player that he used to be, so I don't think he's using any performance enhancers. But I really have a big problem with, you know, the whole NFL and the HGH and these substances that really aren't performance enhancers. They really help them heal. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's all I got on that.
Okay.
Yeah, 10 and 11 and 14 tackles with donkey team in your mouth, yeah.
Oh, stop.
Okay. With a torn tricep. Okay, one arm. Okay. Okay, Makai.
All right, Black. Jeff, I think you're up next. Who's your Super Bowl winner, and explain why?
You know what? The Harbaugh brothers are almost identical. These teams are almost identical.
Right.
But
right.
I give the edge to Baltimore. I like their running game a little more. And I need to say I've been very impressed with Kaepernick. But the man has, what, 9 career starts, and this is a big, big game, big, big stage. And Baltimore had an extra week to, look at film and work on a game plan. That's why I'm leaning towards Baltimore.
Okay. How about you, Black?
Oh, man, you know I don't want any diva team to win. If I could have the flying man that flies into the boxing matches, if I could have him fly into the Super Bowl, the brothers somehow, I'll be happy. If it can end in the tie from thunderstorm and lightning, I'll be happy. But they're playing in the dome, so that won't happen. 49ers are a 4-point spread. I don't know how the Baltimore people are betting it. I don't know if that line has moved from the last time I looked at it. I know that Baltimore is not that strong against the run, which the 49ers run that read option like the Redskins. So it could be problems for the Ravens. Damn, I really don't want to see the Ravens win. I really don't want to see the 49ers win. But if I have to pick a team, I go ahead and roll the dice with Kaepernick and the 49ers.
I have to agree with you. The reason I say that is I think they have a better defense, and I agree with you. I think they do have a better running game. They're playing in the dome. In my opinion, they're a younger team. They're a quicker team. Speed kills, especially on the turf, with a good running game and a very quick an agile and an accurate quarterback like Kaepernick with the receivers that they have. I'd have to agree that it can be a close game, but I think the 49ers with their youth and quickness and a better defense will prevail in this game. I know a lot of people want to see Ray Lewis prevail. But the underlying story is that Randy Moss has been in the league quite a bit, even though he's not retired. He's never won a Super Bowl either, or whatever you want to say it. And he's near the end of his career, and in my opinion, he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. The story is now about Randy Moss and never winning a Super Bowl, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer. It's about Ray Lewis because he's a surefire Hall of Famer, but this is his last game ever to play in the NFL.
Don't forget, Ed Reed doesn't have a ring either.
That's true. I understand that. But I've been a huge Randy Moss fan for a long time. I know he says a lot of dumb-ass things throughout the years, and you wonder, he's supposed to be an intelligent guy, that he can't seem to get it and bite his tongue at times. But it is what it is, and I'd like to see him get a ring, in my opinion, and I think the 49ers will prevail. With that being said, we come to the conclusion of the show, and I'll probably talk about it on Sunday, about the NFL. I don't know if you guys heard about this. The NFL is trying to bring up an 18-game season along with all, you know, even though they've been talking about player safety, they talked about, I think, a Bob Costas interview. I think it's coming up somewhere before the Super Bowl, and in that interview, Ray Anderson of the NFL is supposed to be talking about trying to go to the union and bring up the talks of an 18-game season. So, which is another controversial thing. I think it's never happened, but that's for a different show at a different time. Anyway, I'm going to go around the horn so we can not lock ourselves out of here. And I'm going to go to Jeff first, Black, and then end it with Macau, and to end the show.
Jeff. I hope everybody enjoys the big game. That's what you have to call it, because the copyrights and whatnot, and enjoy your food, your beverage, your friends, and of course these point spreads and whatnot. It's for entertainment purposes only.
Okay, Black.
Yeah. For the Boogie Monster, this is one of the last big games you can bet on this season. Good luck, Riverside. I caution you, check out when the spread opens, and then check it out where it is now to see where the smart money is going. But enjoy the game.
Mikal.
Yeah, I want to say, definitely enjoy this game that's coming up. Also, I want to give a shout-out, a big, big happy birthday on January 31st, 1919, in Cairo, Georgia. Mr. Jackie Robinson was born. He would have been 94 years old today.
Wow, true, okay.
Number 42. Peace and blessings.
Thank you for that. And with that being said, I want to thank everyone that listened. I want to thank my guests for showing up and spending the time over the last hour. And so, Jeff, Black, and Macau, you guys enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Have a good time. And I'll catch you at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on next Thursday. Tomorrow will be 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Will be No Chaser with Mac Williams and me as the co-host. Vic Gardner is going to host the FSP on 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Saturday. And I'll be back on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with the Master Plan, talking about different sports subjects and including the Super Bowl. With that being said, I think we're going to get out of here. And yes, we are. As soon as I find my music, we're out. See you guys.
All right, now.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's
Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, yeah, come on. Fantasy sports